I opened my mouth and I panted. I longed for your commandments. Man, you got a hunger after the knowledge of God. You got a hunger after it. Like I said, just what, you know, what, where are you at right now? You know, are you trying to seek advancement on your job? Well, if it requires a higher skill level, you are not going to get it with the skill level that you have now. So what do you got to do? You got to get some knowledge somewhere that's going to take you to that next level. And that's what it means, the hunger. It's very simple. It means that you desire to know what it's going to take to get you to the next level.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Gift of Knowledge. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Gift of Knowledge.
In each one of these situations, Eve and Jesus, it's up there. If somebody, you want that chart, I'll email that chart to you. I know I don't have it on the note. Eve in Genesis 3, Jesus in Matthew 4. In each one of those situations, what was the difference? The difference was that one had a word of knowledge and the other one didn't. Eve did not bring and stand on the knowledge that God had given her, but Jesus did. So my brothers and sisters, that shows you how important this whole thing about a word of knowledge is. It's a part of your everyday life. It's a part of your everyday DNA for you to be a person that would receive a word of knowledge. As I move on to the next column, the illumination of knowledge, the conservative view and the charismatic view. And I take this quote from the conservative view from John MacArthur. And he says this: a Christian with the gift of knowledge may be highly trained in biblical languages, history, archaeology, and theology. God can use that training in the working of his gift. But another person with the same gift may have limited formal education. They might not have degrees. They might not have biblical languages. They might not have the theology. But in either case, the ability to comprehend spiritual truth is God-given. Whether you are the academician or whether you are the layperson, that if you've got the gift, no one is respected more than the other one, because the gifted person is supernaturally, whether you are academia or not, the gifted person is supernaturally enabled to discover the truths from the facts of Scripture. You know, man, you know the beautiful thing about God in the Christian life is that when we come to the cross, we all got to bow down. We all got to bow down. But you don't realize, I got so many degrees, they call me Dr. Fahrenheit. But you got to bow down, man. You know, we all have to bow down. And even with the gift of knowledge, that a layperson in the church who doesn't have all the advanced degrees can come and can know the mind of God, can know what it is that God thinks, and know what God's mind is for a situation. And all of us, we can know that. We can have a word of knowledge in our life on a daily basis. The charismatic view. This is a little more esoteric, but yet and still, I believe there's some reality in this because I've seen it in my life. There are certain situations that the Word of God does not speak to directly. Amen. Amen. It doesn't say thou shalt not do some things. You know, it tells us some big things, but it doesn't address everything. This is where a word of knowledge is needed. For instance, a car salesman knows something that is wrong with the car that he's trying to sell me. Well, then what do I need? I either need to have word of knowledge to take the car to a good mechanic, all right, or I need word of knowledge that this guy's trying to get over on me. And you know what? I believe that if you are walking with God, I believe, and I might be wrong, so I'm letting you know right now, but I'm just saying, I believe that if you are walking with God and you got God's money and there's somebody over there that's trying to take advantage of you, that somehow God is going to get that message to you. That somehow God is going to get it to you that there's something that's not right about this situation. And that you need to understand. But see, you know why people get taken? I'm just going to be, you know why they get taken? Because they're not walking with God. And you wonder why you got into that situation. You wonder why you got taken. Because you're not walking with God. I just have to believe that if I'm where I should be with God, if I love God with my heart, if I'm trusting God with my life, if I'm looking for him to direct me in all my ways, I just have a problem believing that God is going to lead me to a place to get taken. Now, unless he's working some greater plan, God could be working a bigger picture. But I mean, in everyday life, I really don't think that God, if we're walking with him, that he will speak to our hearts and let us know what's right or wrong about a situation. Another situation is if I'm trying to make a decision about a job opportunity. You know, I got the opportunity to get this job or stay on this job, and I need to know what to do. But what do I need? I don't need wisdom. I don't need discernment. I need a word of knowledge. I need to know what to do about my situation. And so I pray to God. I can pray for wisdom. Yeah, I mean, if I don't understand, you know, like for many years, see, that's one thing about, you know, when you come to church and we're trying to exegete the word, you know, God takes us to a different level of enlightenment. So, you know, I mean, I've been praying, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. And God honors that because that's where I was at. But now God takes us to another place. He shows us something different. And he shows us how that we need to do it. Now, if you leave here today and you pray for wisdom, you know, God understands your heart, all right? So just don't think, oh, well, you know, I got to do this thing by the letter, and if I get it wrong either way, then I just blown the whole thing. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying this for your understanding, not for God's understanding, for your understanding. Because then it helps you know how better to pray. God, I need knowledge. I need to know in my mind what it is to do. That's what I need. I don't need to know how to apply it. That's wisdom. I don't need to discern between what's right and wrong, what's good and bad. I need to know what to do. That's the word of knowledge. And so we ask God for that in those situations. And then as I shared earlier, a coworker, and I hear people tell me all the time, my coworker asked me this. I know I go to the gym, and when people find out I'm a preacher, they ask me a question. So people, they got questions. And when they ask you a question, they might ask you a question about their life. They might ask you a question about God, about the Bible. And when you answer that question, you don't need wisdom. You don't need discernment. Well, how do you need to answer their question? You need knowledge. You need knowledge. And so at the moment that somebody asks you a question, the thing you need to start praying for, Lord God, give me the knowledge. Give me the knowledge that you would have me to have so I can answer this question. I need knowledge. Now, once I get the knowledge, once I give the knowledge to that person, and then they go out and do what God told them to do, then that's wisdom, because wisdom is the application of knowledge, all right? So, as I close this morning, I want to ask this question. How can I increase my knowledge? How can I increase my knowledge? Don't be like Pastor Glaze when I was in college. Before I got my heart right with God, I took a theater class, theater 101. Now, once again, sometimes athletes do. I got to admit, I did get a lot of special treatment in college being an athlete. All right, I was telling some people the other day. I said I got convicted after when I got ready to graduate, and I went back and I took about 6 or 7 extra classes in case so I could feel right before God, because I knew some of the classes I got along the way I got by hook and crook. I know I did. And this was one of them. I was in the theater class, and the professor was good friends with the football coach. And we got in the theater class. Now, there's a point behind this, right? You know, I'm telling you, you got to increase in knowledge, all right? You got to increase in knowledge. That we took this theater class. Half the time, I didn't even go. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, I wasn't feeling that, man. I was living off campus, off the yard. I wasn't feeling getting up at 8. So the days that I did make it, I slept. Now, you got all these people in theater, mate, serious people about theater. I mean, they're serious about theater. You know, oh, you know, wow, you know, doing. They're serious. I'm just in there, man, because I need a grade, you know. So they're taking tests along the way. I missed the midterm, missed the final. And the professor, it was me and 3 other football players. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. It was me and 3 other football players. And the man came in. He said, all semester, we've been talking about the school of Stanislavski and the school of Gretowski. He said, can you tell me what the basic difference between the two schools are? Whole semester I've been. The whole semester I've been sitting in this class when I came. Stan a who? Grata who? I had no idea what the man was talking about. I got to see in the class, but that's. That's why I said, Saints, I got convicted now. Pastor Glaze got convicted because I got saved, you know, after I took that class. And I went back, and you can look on my college transcript. Look on my college transcript. I actually graduated with about 6 to 8 more credits than I needed. The Lord is good. So, don't be like Pastor Glaze. Don't sit here at Bethany for a semester, for a year, and at the end of the year, God asks you, how have you increased in knowledge? And you can't tell him. Wow. Wow. You know, you might have to go take some extra classes when you graduate so that you can stand before God and say, look, I might have cheated you on this area, but God, I made it up on this end. Don't sit here. My brothers and sisters, I'm begging you as your pastor. I'm pleading with you as your pastor. Don't sit here week after week after week and walk away not learning anything at all. I beg you. Somebody said, well, I just won't come then. I won't be held accountable. Well, you're already here this morning, right? So you heard the message. God is already holding you accountable right there. Now, if you'd have missed this week, you say, oh, man, I wish I'd have missed today. So if you'd have missed, then you wouldn't be held accountable. No, that's good. All right. So we're talking about increasing, brothers and sisters. Let me go through this real quick. Increasing in knowledge. Number one, be still before God. God is not going to speak to your heart about a situation in the midst of you being on the go. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Elijah, we looked at him a couple weeks ago, and when Elijah was running from Jezebel, he couldn't get a word from God. He could not get a word from God. But when he got quiet, the Bible says that a storm came and God was not in the storm, and a wind came and God was not in the wind. But where was God at? God was in the still, small voice. And after he spoke in the still, small voice, and I wish I had time to read it. Let me give you the reference. 1 Kings 19:1-18. 1 Kings 19:1-18. That God spoke to Elijah and told him specifically what he was supposed to do. Specifically. But he didn't tell him in the hustle and bustle. He didn't tell him in the rush. He told him in the quietness, in the still, small voice. Number two, continually increase your thirst for the knowledge of God. Continually increase your thirst for knowledge. You know, when you go to college, most people that go to college, what do? They're thirsting for knowledge. They want to be a doctor. They want to be a lawyer. They want to be this. They want to be that. And why do they go? Because they're thirsting for the knowledge of being able to do that at the end. They're thirsting for that. I want to be a doctor, so I want to know all that doctors need to know. And if we want to know God better, and we want to live for God better, then we need to thirst for the knowledge of God. I like what the psalmist said. Look in Psalm 119, verse 131. Psalm 119, 131. Here I go with these pages sticking together. 119, 131. I opened my mouth and panted. I longed for your commandments. Wow, I love it. I opened my mouth and I panted. I longed for your commandments. Man, you got a hunger after the knowledge of God. You got a hunger after it. Like I said, just what, you know, what, where are you at right now? You know, are you trying to seek advancement on your job? Well, if it requires a higher skill level, you're not going to get it with the skill level that you have now. So what do you got to do? You got to get some knowledge somewhere that's going to take you to that next level. And that's what it means, the hunger. It's very simple. It means that you desire to know what it's going to take to get you to the next place. And if you want to know God and you want to know his mind, then you got to desire to know him and to know his mind. Number three, sit under a shepherd or a church that's committed to sound biblical teaching. So you don't want to be sitting somewhere where the person is telling you the wrong thing. You don't want to sit somewhere where people are telling you stuff based on what they feel and what they think, and then you end up doing it and you wonder why it don't work. Because it's not based on sound teaching. That's why it don't work. Number four, spend time studying the word for yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, you knew I was coming to number five. You knew I was coming to number five. Take classes that will increase your biblical knowledge. That's why we got a biblical counseling center. That's why we have a Bible Institute here at Bethany Baptist Church. You know what my goal is? My goal, now I know that, you know, I can't do it, but part of my goal is to stamp out biblical illiteracy. That's my goal. Stamp out biblical illiteracy. Well, as a result, what do you want to do? That's why we got Bible Institute, and we got hermeneutics class. I think everybody should take hermeneutics. I think everybody. Well, what did Pastor Herman, I told a pastor one time, I said, man, you know, you need, I was listening to him. He was saying some things that wasn't right. I said, man, you need to take hermeneutics. He said, Herman who? I said, hermeneutics. He said, what is that? I said, okay, I see why you say what you say. What is hermeneutics? Hermeneutics basically is principles for understanding how to interpret the Bible. You know, how do you study the Bible and get the most out of it? That's all that it is. I mean, there's some more to that, but basically in its very essence, that's what it is right there. Take classes that will increase your biblical knowledge. And then finally, intentionally think biblically about situations in your life. Intentionally think biblically about situations in your life. Just pull out situations in life that you go through and then begin to think biblically about them. And as I close, brother, would you put up that last slide? That last slide. How can you think biblically about an issue? All right, I'm getting ready to give you something that's going to help you. It's not in the notes, but I'm going to give you this as I close out. How can you think biblically about an issue? Well, the first thing that you got to do, and now I'm talking about key issues in your life, okay? I'm talking about key issues in your life. You need to have the knowledge of God in these areas. The first thing you need to ask, what is the issue? Do I want to change jobs? Am I in a relationship that I don't need to be in? Why, I'm in a relationship I got questions about? Am I getting ready to do something that is illegal or immoral? Okay? So we're talking about thinking biblically. So the first thing you got to ask is, what is the issue? Identify what the issue is. Then the second thing that you have to do is ask, what does the Bible say about it? Now, you know, there are books. You go to a Christian bookstore, and they got books that just talk about every issue, and then it lists a bunch of scriptures. I know I got a book. It's called Biblical Counseling, and it lists all the topics that people deal with, and then under each one, it lists about 10 scriptures, all right? You can go get a book like that, and you can begin to just sit down and say, you know, slothfulness. I'm lazy. I'm a lazy individual. Well, what does the Bible say about that? And then you go read all the verses on laziness. What are you doing? Trying to get God's mind. All right. I'm an alcoholic. You know, I need to, you know, what all the verses on drunkenness. I need to go. All right. So the next thing, go see what the Bible says about it. What we're trying to think biblically about the issue. The third thing is then you need to do some reliable research. Now, first of all, you've gone and you looked at you haven't looked at a commentary, you haven't listened to a sermon, you haven't listened to a teaching. All you did was read the verses on that issue. And now you begin to bring in some other resources. Go get you a book on the issue. Go get a sermon that might have been preached or a Bible lesson that was taught. You know, things of that nature. Then go see what other people from the biblical standpoint are saying about it. And then number four, ask the question, what is my initial biblical response to this issue? After I've looked at all these scriptures, after I've studied it out, what is my response? What is my biblical response to this issue? After all that I've done, what is it that is speaking to my heart? What is it that I should do about this situation? And then before you stop there, go and get with some other individuals. What do other Bible thinking? Notice I didn't say people who are going to feed into your insecurities, people that are going to feed into your ego. You know, go. What do other Bible thinking individuals say when I discuss it with them? Sit down with somebody and say, look, you know, I'm dealing with this issue. I'm in this relationship. I got to make this decision. I'm getting ready to do this. Look, I've looked at the scriptures. I've studied. I've kind of formulated my opinion on this thing. Now, what do you think? Tell me what you think about it. Yeah, go to, you know, somebody, a well-respected person in your life that you know is going to come from the Word of God. They're not going to come from the way they feel. They're not going to come from CNN or Fox or MSNBC. They're not going to come. They're going to come from the Word of God, all right? And then you sit down and you talk to them. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm thinking about. And then finally, you come up with your biblical response. If we would learn to do that, you're going to say, oh, well, Pastor Glaze, now watch this, and I'm done, I'm going to be done. Pastor Glaze, you know, that's a whole lot of stuff that we got to do. You know, well, you got to do all that, that's a whole lot of stuff. You talking about your life. My goodness. You talking about your life. There was a sign that was on a highway that was under construction, and they said, choose your rut carefully because you'll be in it for the next 100 miles. And you know what? The reason that people are riding in that 100-mile rut on the wrong road and the bumpy road is because they chose the wrong rut to be in. I'm trying to tell you something that's going to help you. For some of y'all, you're going to make decisions that are going to affect the rest of your life. My goodness. Don't you think that it's worth your time to invest? I don't understand people. I really don't understand people. Well, you know, I don't have time to do all that. But you got time to go out here and go down the wrong road for 2 or 3 years and then make the right choice and then have to come all the way back the road that you travel. You know, one of the bad things about going the wrong way is that when you find out you're going the wrong way, you got to turn around and travel all that road that you covered. I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to help you do something that's going to get you started from Jump Street. You know, don't be like the guy who was hitting his head against the wall. And he kept hitting his head against the wall. Somebody said, man, why you keep hitting your head against the wall? He said, because it feels so good when I stop. Wait a minute. If you didn't do it, well. But Pastor Glaze, that's too much to do. Well, you know, it's your life. I'm just trying to help you. I just see so many people making bad decisions. This is in my heart this morning, saints. I'm winding down. I'm about to finish, but this is in my spirit, man. This is in my spirit. I just see so many people making bad choices, and then they end up in that rut for the next 100 miles when they could have avoided it. And so I pray to God that God gives you knowledge, that He shows you what it is that He wants you to do, and then you would have wisdom. And apply the knowledge of God.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of The Gift of Faith. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Gift of Knowledge, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Knowledge, or program number 080803. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Knowledge, or program number 080803. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.